Oh, man. Thank you, Stephanie. That was worth getting up for today. That was terrific. And Tom, thank you for being here and for all of your time yesterday. To Paul Means, we coordinated this service yesterday afternoon looking at what we could do for the live streaming. Thank you to Mark Johnson and to Jarrett for being here this morning and giving us the technical support we need. The sermon for this morning is entitled, A Storm Arose. I'm reading this morning from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 8, verses 23 to 27, and I'll refer to another storm story during the course of the message and another passage about a weather forecast. And so you'll hear all about storms this morning. Matthew 8, then, let us give our attention to the reading of God's Word. And when he, that is Jesus, got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm arose on the sea so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But Jesus was asleep. And they, the disciples, went and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, you of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, what sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord and our God, it would be our prayer that you would speak to many people through this service today, so that everyone may be transformed by your good news, the good news of Jesus Christ, both in our lives and in our troubled world. O Lord, how we need such good news to learn how truly great you are and can be in all of life. We pray especially that if there is anyone listening and watching this morning, and they are in a situation that seems like a storm, and they are in need of shelter, strength, and peace and comfort, that you will meet that man, woman, and young person at their very point of need. And we pray this prayer in the strong name of Jesus, the Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, yesterday was not a normal Saturday for me. I have to say that from the very beginning. I thought I had all day, and so Joyce and I went down to her mother's, and we're trying to put together an estate sale. Some of you know my wife's mother, Sarah Key. She died on December 23rd. And so now in May, we're trying to get the house ready for all the things that will be sold in this estate sale. And so yesterday, we sat with Joyce's sister, Julie. We're busy doing things, getting things out of the backyard, even plants that we wanted to take with us back to our homes. My job for the morning was to take all the family portraits and the photographs that had been treasured for years by her parents off the walls, take off the backs, and put the pictures in a pile and the frames in another spot so that they could be sold in the estate sale in May. We laughed most of the day. We had a great time. That's such a precious time to go through so many photographs of family and relatives. Finally, about 2:30, I decided it was time to go out to my car and look and see if I had any messages or any emergencies that had come up. I want to tell you, I was not ready for what I discovered. By the time I would answer one telephone call, I had three others coming in on the cell phone, and I just couldn't get to all of them at that time. I was not ready for the news that we were not together for today. And so I headed straight for the church office. I knew Paul was there. He had tried to call. Tom was already here. We got Stephanie on intercom, a conference call, and she came down as well. Chris Hurst came down and helped us to put information on the website and on Facebook and a constant contact letter to many of you to let you know of the closure and that we would only have live streaming for today. And then as we were sitting there, Paul Means said to me, "You know, Chris," he said, "what I have for tomorrow really doesn't fit for this context, for this situation, the closure and the coronavirus. Perhaps the pastor could say a few words tomorrow." And I said, "Okay, I'll do that," not realizing that I would be at it and finally print this sermon last night at about 12:04 a.m. And so I'm in for a good nap this afternoon. But I agreed with him. The story about the woman at the well, it didn't seem to fit the coronavirus thing. And so here I am this morning. And I want to tell you, the word last minute is really not part of my vocabulary. Usually by about 5 or 6 o'clock on Friday afternoon, I try to print a copy of my message, and then I try to memorize it on Saturday. And so here I am today. I was not ready for this. I actually called Patrice Hatley, our Presbytery coordinator, and said, "What would you recommend we do at this point?" And we both agreed that a skeleton crew of some of our staff could put together this service and offer it live streaming, as all the churches in the presbytery are trying to do today. But this last-minute nature was unnerving. How dare the CDC issue an alert on Saturday when preachers have to preach the next day? That's really uncomfortable. I'll send you a letter this week. And so I thought, you know, I'm really just undone. I feel like I'm storm-tossed this morning. And so immediately I was attracted to the story in Matthew chapter 8 about Jesus and his disciples on the boat in the storm on the sea. You know, they didn't plan to go out into that boat in the midst of a storm. The storm arose suddenly. They're just like those cruise line passengers who ended up on a cruise ship here or there in some part of the world, and finally they ended up quarantined. They didn't plan that. A storm came into their lives. And so I looked at that story and I identified so much with the apostles, the disciples in that story, panicked, feeling swamped and storm-tossed. That's exactly how I felt yesterday. For several hours, I felt as if I was in a panic, trying to decide what to do next and who to call next. And on it went. But notice, during the storm, and I noticed this and remembered this, Jesus didn't panic. Jesus wasn't filled with fear like the disciples were. He didn't show worry of any kind. In fact, he was at peace. He was sleeping, and they woke him up. And I've always thought in this passage over the years that Jesus was strong and perhaps angry in his rebuke of the disciples. But over the years, I've come to see Jesus as more compassionate in that story. And I think what Jesus did was sort of chuckle with them and say, why are you so afraid? Haven't you heard all that I have been teaching, all that I've been saying? Be of good cheer. I'll overcome the world, and so will you. I believe that's the implication in that story. And so I want to encourage you in the time I have remaining in this message to prepare for the storms that may come. For you see, the weather forecast that we learn in the scriptures is that there will be trouble that will come in life. There will be storms. There will be surprises. And I don't like surprises, but there will be surprises. There will be grief. There will be trouble. Fear and news about a spreading virus. Who would have thought that would ever have taken place this week and we would not be in worship together? I am so frustrated and distraught that we are not together today. I can't tell you, my frustration level is just so, so high today. But I read John 16:33. That's worth reading, John 16:33. The whole 16th chapter of the Gospel of John is terrific, but in 16:33, in the Gospel of John, Jesus gives us a weather forecast about the future. After teaching many things, he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." That sounds like the Jesus in the storm, doesn't it? And then he says, "In this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's good news that we need to take in at this hour. Jesus says, in this world, you'll have trouble. So the weather forecast is there's trouble yesterday, there's trouble today, and there'll be trouble tomorrow. And I want to tell you, as the pastor in this church, I'm really an optimist about things, but the weather report is not so good, at least as Jesus tells it in John 16:33. But you know how it goes. Some people long for a wonderful relationship in life, a great relationship, and sometimes that doesn't come as quickly as we like, or an issue in our lives isn't resolved as quickly as we want, or our health, it doesn't recover as quickly as it used to in the past, and that can be frustrating, especially when a loved one is not well. There are some people today who are still seeking that perfect job, and perhaps it hasn't come yet. Some are troubled by health issues. Disappointment, you see, trouble, it comes in many, many forms. But regardless of what disappointment or what storms come, let me assure you this morning that the good news in this story is that Jesus promises calm. He promises hope. He promises peace. He is our hope. He promises life, fullness of life. There is a day coming when God will set all things right. Love never ends. There is a day coming when all tears will be dried up. Let me assure you that in the midst of whatever trouble, in the midst of whatever storm you may find yourselves in the coming days, God is a very present help. And so my question this morning to all of us is, where do we find strength in the midst of storms? So let me share with you another story this morning, this time from Matthew's Gospel. In the 7th chapter, Jesus tells a very unique story. It's after the Sermon on the Mount, and he has been teaching a number of beautiful, eternal truths to us. And he says in Matthew 7, one of the most unforgettable stories that he ever told. Many people who don't even read the Bible, they mention this story from time to time. Jesus says after the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, whoever, he says, hears these teachings and puts them into practice, they are like a man who built his home upon a rock. The rains came and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, and yet it did not fall because it had as a foundation a rock. But then he went on to tell the second part of the story. He told about a foolish man who built his home upon the sand, and the stream rose, and the winds blew, and the house did not stand. Indeed, he emphasizes that in the story. He says it fell with a great crash. Notice in this story that Jesus tells us about these two homes that for both of them, the rains came. The floods came to both houses, one on the rock and one on the sand. You see, this is not a story about how to build a house where there are no storms. Trouble, again, comes to every person, to every home. But oh, how we would like to find a safe community, wouldn't we? We'd love to find a safe community, one that we remember years and years ago, perhaps at our grandmother's house, like I had enjoyed. You could go out at any hour and walk anywhere, and it was so wonderful. People looked after each other. That was not the case for Bobby. One of our son's childhood friends, Bobby Batista, this past week, he was walking in downtown Clearwater at night. He was out late with friends. His girlfriend, in fact, was with him. They were walking down a sidewalk harmlessly. And all of a sudden, a group of people passed him, a group of boys, and one boy took his fist and hit Bobby as hard as he could, totally unexpected. And Bobby went down on the ground. And the other boys began to kick him, and Bobby's girlfriend began to try to protect him, and even she was injured in this fight. Bobby was taken to the hospital, where he has several broken ribs and has been injured badly. He didn't plan that storm. It was totally unexpected. And by the way, the young man who hit Bobby went home and put it on Facebook and bragged about beating up someone in downtown Clearwater, and he was arrested. Storms come. Years ago, this story perhaps helps. Years ago, there was an S-4 submarine that went down in the waters of the northeast of the United States around Massachusetts. And it sunk immediately to the bottom of the ocean, that S-4 class submarine. And all of the crew in that submarine, they were trapped in that sub at the bottom of the ocean, and they were scared to death. They were in what they felt was a prison of death. Well, a Navy diver went down to see if there was any possibility that there was a sign of life, and the diver put his helmet next to the sub where he knew the quarters were of the crew, and he listened, and he could hear tapping. It was Morse code, and the Morse code tapped out, "Is there any hope?" This is really one of life's most important questions this morning in this message. Is there hope for us in the midst of all the storms? And there is. One theologian has said it this way: what oxygen is to the lungs, hope and faith is to the soul. And the message I share for you this morning is that there is hope. There is hope for us in the one who God raised from the dead, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this morning to make the decision to find a place that is a strong shelter where your faith can be nurtured and you can find strength in God. Find a church home. Matthew 28:20 reminds me of this great truth that Jesus taught. He said to his disciples, and again I'm thinking about the story of the storm at the sea, he wanted to assure them one more time of his peace. And he said to his disciples in Matthew 28:20, "Remember, lo, I am always with you to the end of the age." I'm always with you. It reminds me of one of my favorite stories. I have to tell it this morning. It's a story of a nun who was on an airline trip, and she was sitting at 30,000 feet in her chair, and she was gripping the chair. She had white knuckles. She gripped the chair so hard. And there was a businessman sitting next to her, and he finally said to her, he said, "Sister, with all due respect, didn't Jesus say he would always be with you? Why are you so scared?" And then the nun said, no, that's not what he said. She said, "I've read the scriptures very carefully, and Jesus actually said, 'Lo, I am with you.'" Some of you may need to let that sink in for a little. But no matter where you are, Jesus is there with you. He's there in the community of believers called the church. We are here living our lives together, supporting one another, encouraging one another. It's important to be together as a church. And as hard as it is not to do that at this time, thank you for understanding. When you're able and we're able to offer a public worship again, remember, the best way you can survive a storm is to do so with the encouragement of others and faith in Jesus Christ. Look around you when you are in church next, and in a new way with wonder, just become fascinated and marinate in the love and the friendship of those all around you. It is encouraging to have the reinforcement of faith from others. And again, yesterday I was so frustrated. It's not how I wanted to spend today. And yesterday was not how I wanted to spend yesterday, racing to get ready for today. But this is the storm that arose. And I have to say to you, I was so encouraged. I was so touched. Because in my calls to so many of you, as Paul did and others did as well, every call I made, I could hear on the other end of the phone a friend saying, "I understand. It'll be okay. I'll call Sally. I'll call so-and-so. We'll pray for you." I want to thank you. I thank you on behalf of our entire staff who feel the same support and encouragement every time a storm rises. Personally, my life revolves around Sunday, around the person of Jesus Christ. And I know many of yours does as well. And so let us practice patience during this time and know the peace of God when the storms come. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Lord's face comfort you. Amen.